Good morning. This is David McManus. I'm the student pastor at Berean Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Coming to you with a news story this morning that I actually meant to address a couple weeks ago. However, I was preparing for a missions trip with our youth group. We were in Honduras for the past week. Great time ministering to the people there and spreading the gospel. But we're back to work again, and I thought I would take a moment to make a commentary on this story. It's a Sports Illustrated cover story from a couple weeks ago, dated May 21st. The author of the article is Jeff Benedict, and the article is about a high school basketball player whose name is Jabari Parker. And the whole title is, Jabari Parker is the best high school basketball player since LeBron James, but there's something more important to him than instant NBA stardom, his faith. So I read that, and that's a really nice headline. And I think, well, let me read about this young man. Let me read about this young man's faith. It's always nice to see athletes that whose faith is on display. It's always nice to see athletes profess Jesus Christ. With the Tim Tebow phenomenon that's been out there, it's nice to see other athletes come forward. And the NBA is an area. Professional basketball as a whole, college basketball as a whole, is an area where we could definitely use much more of a Christian interest, a Christian witness. And so this article title intrigued me, and so I thought I would take a look. Well, what you find out is that this Jabari Parker is a phenomenal basketball player. He attends Simeon Career Academy in Chicago. He is 6'9", 220 pounds, and he is a phenomenal player. He has led Simeon to a 33-1 record this past year, to its third straight Class 4A state championship. In April, he was chosen the Gatorade National Player of the Year. He's only the fourth non-senior to win that award. And 3 months earlier, USA Basketball had named Jabari its Male Athlete of the Year for 2011. And when we say that they named him as their Athlete of the Year, that encompasses all levels of basketball. Because the year before, 2010, the winner was Kevin Durant. He's an NBA All-Star, plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So in this 2011, Jabari Parker outdid and outworked NBA players to win this award. He got that nod after leading the U.S. to the gold medal and being named MVP of the FIBA America's Under-16 Championship in Cancun, Mexico last summer. It says Jabari handles the ball like a point guard. Remember, he's 6'9", 220 pounds. He has a crossover that makes defenders stumble. His first step has been compared to Oscar Robertson's. If you're not an NBA fan or historian, Oscar Robertson is arguably one of the best players ever, the last player to average a triple-double for a season. It says Jabari can drain threes, yet he goes to the rim with power, uses his 6'11.5 wingspan to block shots and snatch rebounds. Last season, he averaged 19 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. One NBA executive told Sports Illustrated that if Jabari were eligible for the draft, he would be a lottery pick in June. Instead, because of the NBA's one-year rule, Jabari is being pursued by all the top college programs, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan State, North Carolina. He's a serious student, 3.7 GPA, but despite all that, he will most likely leave college after his freshman year, like many of the top prospects do nowadays, and go to the NBA to pursue his dream. Now, what you will see is that there's something different about Jabari Parker. I talked about his faith earlier, and you're wondering, well, why are we keep talking about a high school basketball player? Well, the fact is that Jabari Parker is a Mormon. It says that he carries in his backpack your usual basketball things, basketball shorts, basketball shirts, pre-wrap, athletic tape, iPod, but he always carries a copy of the Book of Mormon. When they asked him about it, Jabari said, basketball is what I do, it's not who I am, which is a noble sentiment. His father, Sonny Parker, played for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA from 76 to 82. He's not a Mormon, but his wife, Lola, is a lifelong member of the church. They met during a road trip when Sonny was on the road when he was in the NBA in Utah. His mother, Lola, was the granddaughter of the second man baptized on the island of Tonga by Mormon missionaries. So she is one of the she is from the family of one of the original Mormon converts on the island of Tonga. And if you're not too familiar with Mormon missions, they have a large presence in the Pacific Polynesian region. And so she is of one of the first families that were converted to Mormonism on the island of Tonga. And so what that means is we've got a young black man who is a member of the Mormon Church. Now, Mormons as a total make up 6.2 million people in the United States, 1.7% of the population. Only about 186,000, or 3% of that 6.2 million, are black. So Jabari is in very rare company when it comes to minorities. At Simeon, the school that Jabari is at, he's one of only two Mormons out of about 1,600 students. So what we get is an article about Jabari Parker and how he's different, how he has values, how he is respected and he respects others, how he works for those around him. He's a great teammate. He's humble. He goes to church every Sunday. He reads his Book of Mormon. He is a devoted follower of his religion, and his values are on display for pretty much everybody to see, which is a great thing. You know, the values are there. That's a good thing. However, there is a sad aspect to this story, because we've got a young man who is doing all the right things, behaving in the way that we would want our own children to behave, and yet his faith is in a religion that is not going to save him. His faith is in a false religion. And really, the whole thing I wanted to talk about in this article is the big thing they talk about is that Jabari is going to have to make a decision, because at the age of 19, all young Mormons are expected to go on a mission somewhere and serve a 2-year mission spreading the Mormon faith, and they could end up going anywhere in the world. Now, during that time, they are supposed to not have a job. They're not supposed to work at anything else. They're supposed to kind of forsake any personal interests and serve on the mission field for 2 years. Now, obviously, this is a big deal for a kid like Jabari Parker, because if he does that, that gets in the way of his college. That gets in the way of his dream to go to the NBA. If he suddenly takes 2 years off in his young development, well, that could definitely change things a little bit. Now, obviously, going to serve on a missions field to spread the gospel is a noble thing, and if a Christian athlete chose to do that, we should all praise him for doing so. But what we see in this article is interesting. This is the most high-profile Mormon athlete since Danny Ainge in the late 70s. If anybody doesn't know who Danny Ainge is, he attended Brigham Young University. He played professional basketball with the Boston Celtics. He was also a professional baseball draftee when he was coming out of high school and college. He is now an executive with the Boston Celtics. He's won multiple titles as a player and an executive. And he was the last high-profile Mormon athlete to be kind of in the spotlight for a mission. And he chose not to go on his mission. And he's even been on record in this article as saying that he doesn't believe everybody should go on a mission. So I guess the idea would be, as long as you can give up what you're doing for a little while and get back on track, you should go on the mission. But if it's going to interrupt a basketball career or an athletic career, then it's okay to make exceptions for that. I wonder if somebody wanted to be a doctor, somebody wanted to be a lawyer, if they would do the same thing. But it seems like the Mormon hierarchy, the authorities of the Mormon Church would say everybody needs to go on a mission. But when you talk to a few people like Danny Ainge, who happens to be a bishop in the Mormon Church, missions aren't for everyone. And so that's the whole thing of the article, is Jabari Parker is going to have to make a decision on whether or not he's going to do this mission in the middle of his in the middle of the pursuance of his dream. Now, he ends the article by saying when he came home from his mission, he's talking about his brother. We talked a lot about it. I want to go, but I have doubts. The NBA is the biggest dream of basketball players, and I'm no different. So it sounds like the idea of Jabari Parker going on a mission is probably not going to happen, being that he is such a highly touted basketball prospect. So that brings me to my point. This is a great article for the Mormon faith. They are getting great publicity from this article, because you've got a great kid on display. doing good things. And it really makes the Mormon church look good. And really the key I wanted to hit on this commentary is the Mormon church is doing a much better job of marketing itself and getting out there in front of people and proclaiming their gospel much better than the Christian church is doing. You don't see Christians in the limelight struggling with the idea of going into full-time ministry. At least you don't see it in the mainstream media. And yet here we have a Mormon player doing just that, and the Mormon faith is getting free publicity. If you get on a YouTube channel and you're watching YouTube videos, you'll notice up on the right side with the paid advertising links almost all the time now, you will see one that says, "And I'm a Mormon," because that's their advertising campaign. They're on YouTube. They're here in Sports Illustrated. And it's amazing how well they're doing at marketing themselves. Unfortunately, they are marketing a false gospel, and they're marketing a false hope of salvation. Right. Galatians 1:6-9 says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," which is exactly what Mormonism is, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." And isn't that exactly what Mormonism is doing? They're preaching another gospel. Mark 13:22 says, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." So in this market-savvy world, the Mormon church is doing a much better job than evangelical Christians are at getting their message out there and earning converts and earning positive reception. Not that we should seek positive reception, but we should be doing a much better job of getting out there and giving our message rather than others. Obviously, when you talk about Mormonism, you wonder why there's only 3% of the Mormon population that is black. Well, if you go back and look at original Mormon scriptures, the religion itself is inherently racist. The fact that black skin was a punishment for cowardly behavior prior to them coming to earth, and you can go and you can research some of that stuff in Mormon history. And that kind of thing never comes up. The fact that there are contradictions all over the place never comes up. It is simply equated with Christianity, and most of your average people would look around and think that Mormonism, Christianity, same thing. They're both talking about God. They're both talking about Jesus. But a lot of that falls on our plates. Why have we not differentiated ourselves from these false religions? Why have we not risen above that and proclaimed the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as the pinnacle of everything that we should be learning? So while this young man, Jabari Parker, is struggling on whether to go to a Mormon mission, whether or not to pursue his dream in the NBA, perhaps the bigger question is, are we saddened by the fact that this man is not going to go to heaven? He does not have a faith in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. He has the faith in a false Christ. And no matter how good he is, no matter how many good deeds he is, no matter how humble he is, no matter how good of a basketball player he is following a false message. And so are 6.2 million other Mormons out there doing the exact same thing. Why are we not making a bigger effort to get our witness out there? Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power." Power. We'll receive power. "After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth." Now, I know we have Christian missionaries out there, but we need more of a gospel witness in this country at the very least, because it is falling away quicker and quicker and quicker as we see these years go by. So in closing, let me just say that I'm impressed with Jabari Parker as a young man. I'm impressed with Jabari Parker as a player, but I'm saddened by the fact that his faith is in an empty place, and that we are, as a society, going to praise this faith just for the sake of faith rather than looking at his faith through the lens of Scripture and through the lens of truth. And my challenge to us is, why is the Mormon church outworking us? Why is it doing more? Why is it being more front and center? Why are there not more athletes that are out there devoutly proclaiming the gospel? Because certainly these Mormons that are out there are out in front, and they're unafraid and they're unashamed. Don't let others outwork us. Paul says that he has worked harder than them all. Let us follow that example in witnessing in the Christian faith. And if you have any comments, questions, please feel free to email me, dmcmanus, mcmanus.bbc@gmail.com. And I hope you have a blessed day.